Hey parents, welcome back. This is part two of a podcast discussion between myself and our good friend Steven Anderson.
Hey.
And we are here live.
On site.
On site. I guess, yeah, of course.
On location.
Live. On location.
Technically, the site's outside. We're just kind of...
We're inside.
We can see it. You guys just can't right now. I can see the beach. I'm happy with the view.
We're down here in Laguna Beach, Florida. It is a rainy and windy, stormy day here at RYM.
Yeah.
And so we decided to take a break from volleyball and beach day and come on in and work on this podcast for you. So lots happened since last time we talked. Actually, a good bit. So sitting here with Steven, who...
is recent. Now a cripple.
Yeah, he's
got a self-defined cripple.
That's right.
Having had ACL surgery, it was about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that was 3 weeks after we did the first podcast. So it's been 6 weeks.
Oh my goodness. You look so much older. So much older.
Has happened.
You haven't aged well. I mean, now you're
gee,
hobbling.
Thanks, I always joke about how old I am. Just because I graduated college doesn't mean you get to offend me. Come on now.
Oh, that's a good... the word college is a good way to segue into our topic. So last time we talked... you talked a little bit about some of the dangers.
Yeah, and challenges. Yeah,
challenges. Yeah, dangers isn't a good word. You're right. Challenges that you faced in your 4 years at Clemson, and the follow up talk to that was okay. So what are some things that you can look back on over those 4 years, and you can see these were decisions that I made that the Lord led me to make. These are good decisions that I made. And I look back and see, man, God used these decisions. These were great things that God used in my life to keep me faithful to Him and to draw me back to Himself when you needed to repent of sin. And
yeah.
So yeah, let's just start with, can you give us an overview what your topics are, what some of your talking points are?
Yeah, so I think terming it decisions is giving me way too much credit.
Okay.
A lot of the things that happened to me while I was at Clemson aren't necessarily because I'm awesome or because I'm always necessarily seeking to better myself, but they're more things that happen to me. I would say that they're blessings from God. And challenges is actually one of them. Personal challenges that is one of the things we're going to dive into here in a little bit. But more importantly, focusing on the growth that came from that. Because I read a quote a couple of days ago. It was a bio for a music artist, and one of the things he said about himself was nobody wants to listen to happy music written by people that have never truly been sad. And so that's the point of view that I think I'll kind of be coming from in talking about some of the challenges and my growth from that. The second thing I want to talk about is the community that God blessed me with in college. And that comes from a couple different areas. I was blessed with really great roommates, and they helped shape my life in ways that I wouldn't have ever expected. That also came from RUF, which is Reformed University Fellowship. For those of you not familiar, is a college ministry for students. It is for students and largely by students, outside of the influence of the campus minister who heads up everything along with a couple of his staff members. A lot of the people that I met in college came within that context. And there are others that I'm sure will crop up during our discussion, but those are the main ones. And then finally, talking about a purpose associated with college, because it is really easy, especially freshman year, when you get there and you're new and you don't really know what's going on, it's easy to just exist and let things come to you. Whereas I think God really, each year, helped me find a sense of purpose outside of myself,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That may sound a little pithy and overdramatic, but I think that what came from that gift is a drive to do and accomplish things largely with people or for people that I wouldn't have otherwise had, had God not given me that. So that's kind of the overview what I'd want to talk about.
Growth and challenges.
Yeah.
And then just kind of the blessing of different Christian communities.
Community.
And then dealing with purposes that, and by that you mean things that the Lord kind of thrust on you, and you were saying, okay, I've got to go one way or the other with this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think direction. Is an even better way to term that, because really, each semester in college is its own kind of microcosm of the whole of life. Just because life is defined by semesters, what I noticed for me is that each one more or less had a bit of a theme according to.
Ooh, that's good. I'd like to hear.
Yeah. Just according to what I was going through, and some themes became year-long themes, mm-hmm. and they aren't necessarily overdramatic. Stephen went on the yellow brick road and went and found the Wizard of Oz and lived happily ever after he clicked his heels and went home to Kansas. But instead is, this is what God is teaching you, and there's not always feather pillows at the end of this.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was hard, but that's I think a better way to describe so that.
That sounds this. In some ways that almost sounds like a starting point for talking about growth in challenges.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of maybe comes full circle. So let's start there. That was the first thing. You know, parents, again, what we're wanting to do is. Talk with a guy who has been a blessing to so many of our students, and who's fresh out of college, spent his 4 years there, and continued to be faithful to the Lord those years. The Lord was faithful to him, and just asking him his perspective, and hopefully it will help give you some perspective on your students as they prepare to go out into college or into wherever the Lord's going to send them. And so this we're saying, hey, what are some ways? Some things that were kind of put into Stephen's life that helped him. He looks back and sees these are ways that the Lord helped me to know Him. And so the first one, you said challenges. So mm-hmm. growth and challenges. What do you mean by that? We talked about challenges before, but how is this different from what we talked about before? Growth in challenges.
Yeah, I think before you dive into how challenges grow you, you have to look at how the absence of challenges stagnate you. So, giving the example of lifting weights. If you choose to not work out for a given period of time or never choose to start, your body will remain in a state of just kind of, I'm using what I need right now, and that's not a lot. But if your goal is to
or in my
get
case,
stronger,
it's not using all that I put into it. I need to move a little more to burn some of what I put in it.
Dave, you look great.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But if your goal is to is to better yourself and get more muscular, I don't know, get better at running, whatever your goal is, you have to put the work in. And I think the way that God says, hey, I'm going to put some work in you is through challenges that He sends your way.
You know, that's interesting you say that. I can't remember all of the words that Luther used, Martin Luther,
yeah,
the reformer, but he said, you know, what makes someone a good, how does the Lord prepare a good servant of the Lord? And he says one of the things was prayer and meditation on Scripture,
mm-hmm.
but he said the other one was suffering.
Yeah.
That one of the ways the Lord prepares people is by leading them into suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. That's how He works on us.
It is. And it's unpleasant. My dad used an analogy a while ago that I've stolen and used. If I say over the years, I sound old, but I've used it a lot. But if you're in a supermarket and on the shelf, this is the supermarket of life. and you see on all the shelves all the different experiences and things that could happen to you or you could pick for yourself, you would choose the vacation to the beach. You would choose the nice family. Mm-hmm. You would not choose the things that God has deemed good for you in order to grow you, because they're unpleasant mm-hmm. and they're painful.
Yeah.
But in that, there's a quote that I read the other day, and I'm gonna pull it up right quick. It's actually by John Taylor, the former one of the associate pastors that was there at Covenant Prez years ago. And it was one of those things where I was scrolling through Facebook, and I stopped and I scrolled back because what he had posted caught my eye. And this was in the middle of a rough night. Just for those of you that don't know, I'm transitioning out of South Carolina, and that transition has been hard for me. And this is one of the things that I would not have chosen for myself. But in that, God is currently growing me in ways that I'm unsure of yet. But the way that it relates is the post by John Taylor, the context is that he recently received a collection of books. And among those books is a book called The Divine Cordial by Puritan writer Thomas Watson. Mm. And here's what it says. It says, God is a skillful physician. He knows what is best. God observes the different temperaments of men and knows what will work most effectually. Some are of a more sweet disposition and are drawn by mercy. Others are more rugged and knotty pieces. These, and for clarification, I am a knotty piece. I am not pleasant. But these knotty pieces, God deals with in a more forcible way. Some things are kept in sugar and some in brine. God does not deal alike with all. He has trials for the strong and cordials for the weak. God is a faithful physician and therefore will turn all to the best. If God does not give you that which you like, he will give you that which you need. A physician does not so much study to please the taste of the patient as to cure his disease. We complain that the very sore trials lie upon us. Let us remember that God is our physician. Therefore, he labors rather to heal us than humor us. God's dealings with his children, though they are sharp, yet they are safe. And in order to cure, and this last sentence is quoting Deuteronomy 8:16, and in order to cure that he might do thee good in the latter end. I think that's a really striking paragraph because it describes so well how God uses challenges and his role as physician and not so much nanny in our lives. An example of mine is among several that have happened to me is the one that I mentioned a second ago, is my transition out of the Southeast, where I've lived literally all my life outside of a summer here and there, to Indiana, which is almost like a foreign country to me. I've never lived outside of South Carolina for any period of time longer than 3 months. And what I didn't realize is how much the roots that I've put down here in South Carolina mean to me until they started being uprooted. And through this, I think God has been showing me that his power is made perfect in my weakness.
Yeah.
And that even in the midst of the sand that I feel like I'm standing on in the middle of this transition, that he's the rock that I am in fact standing on when all the sand that are the personal trappings of the world fall away.
So I'm a parent.
Yeah.
I don't like to hear that. I don't like to hear a student say, God sends us through trials.
Yeah.
He's hurt me. He's he's made me suffer. I know it's true because I've seen it in my own life. You know, but I think as parents, especially parents that maybe are saying, I'm going to send my kid off to college, they're like, oh no, you're telling me he's going to suffer. And you're saying, yeah, and that's the way God prepares us.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
It's a hard thing.
I mean, he's promised that even in your own cases, you said, in fact, you're using this as one of the ways that the Lord drew you to himself throughout your 4 years of college, was that it wasn't all birthday cakes and parties and balloons. Mm-hmm. There was hard times, there was suffering. And I don't think parents have, we don't tend to have that on our agenda for our own kids, especially sending them off to college, you know.
Yeah. You don't choose this in the supermarket of life either. You don't choose this for your kids.
That is so true. You're right.
Yeah.
But the Lord knows the ingredients that need to be in our cart. I mean, he really knows what we need.
Yeah.
What we need.
I think it's easy for parents, because I've seen this in my own parents, that conflict that you just described. Because on the one hand, they do really love me, just like you love your kids.
Yeah.
And they want the best for me, but what kind of gets in the way is they also love me enough so that they don't want to see me suffer.
Yeah, that's right.
I think an incorrect response to that would be to become overprotective and to become that dreaded term, helicopter parent, to embody that. Because in that, you'd stunt your kids' growth. We're in one way or another. I don't know what that looks like exactly.
Yeah, we need wisdom, you know, when to help and when not, and this is...
Yeah.
But it's to hear you say it, I think is affirming to parents, because the same spirit that's in you is in their kids.
Yeah.
And it may not be that... I am sure that there were times you were in the middle of suffering, whether it be relationship or whether it was academic or whether it was physical, emotional, whatever it was, or even now as you're looking to the future and thinking, I don't know what lays ahead of me with regard to job and where I'm going to live and those relationships and what church I'm going to go to, some of those things, you would love to be relieved of that.
Yeah.
But yet the Lord is, he was with you in all those pasts, and the same spirit that's in you is in their kids. And as he's comforted you and led you, he comforts and leads them.
Yeah.
What about that second thing you'd mentioned? We talked about some growth and challenges, but now you mentioned
the community,
which I saw some of that, not all of it. You had a lot of community outside of Covenant.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about not only how that community was encouraging, how the Lord used the Christian friends and community around you, but I don't know. There's no formula for how did you get into that community, but just you can't prescribe how it worked for you, but I guess you could describe what happened to you.
Yeah.
And that might be helpful for parents.
Yeah. So and for anybody that was worried that we were going to talk about doom and gloom for the entire time, this is the fun part of this podcast. I think the way that God has used community in my own life is I'm stubborn, and I'm not particularly receptive to often to what God wants to tell me.
Yeah.
And so one of the main ways that God used the community that I was blessed with, I mentioned my roommates in RUF, but with my roommates especially, because people are mirrors, they can see, and not literal mirrors, like I'm not looking in a mirror as I'm talking to you, but you can see things about me, Dave, that I can't see about myself.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Vice versa, yep.
And so I think that's one of the most powerful tools that God has in his arsenal in using other people to sharpen his children, to sharpen each other. And there have been countless times where I was thankful for the time that one of my roommates called me out on something, little or big or somewhere in between, that was affecting them in some way that not only affected them, but affected me in the way that I treated other people or affected my life in a way that I didn't realize. And so that is a huge blessing. Now, going back to kind of how or what happened to me or how that blessing manifested itself in my life, I didn't go out looking for that.
Yeah.
It was presented to me, and that before I knew it, it was a gift that was, it was something that meant a lot to me, but I didn't realize it as it was happening. I've known Tyler, my three other roommates were Tyler, Cray, Daniel Alvarez, and Nick Miller. And I knew Tyler going into school, and we roomed together. Daniel, we met our freshman year in the dorms. And then Nick, soon after we met Daniel, I went to Smoking Pig with him. Him and another good friend of ours. It's just kind of a random occurrence. And then all of a sudden, we were really close, and that didn't change. Still hasn't changed. I texted him 20 minutes ago. I texted Nick 20 minutes ago. But that kind of came through the way that God did that was through RUF. Mm-hmm. This isn't me saying your parents, your kids should go to RUF. If they want to, that's great. It really is up to your child what they do in college. But I can recommend, strongly recommend that your child get involved with some sort of campus ministry, because any group of college students is great. And when you find community, it can be good. It can be really harmful. And the way that most campus ministries operate as an organization that has Christ at its center largely prevents the ways that community can be harmful from affecting the people within them. Now, that is not to say that RUF or FCA or CRU are perfect. There are things that go on in each one of those organizations that are unfortunate. But it is a way to meet people that think alike, think similarly to you. And that's important. Yeah. It really is, because this community is...
Well,
it's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. I like how you kind of qualified it and said there's a certain kind of community that doesn't necessarily have checks, maybe accountability, and that would not be as helpful. But good community is good.
Yeah.
Bad community is not.
Bad community does some.
But good community is good, and. I may have said this quote last time we talked. I don't remember now, but Dietrich Bonhoeffer said something to the extent.
Name.
Yeah, it's very German, man.
Oh,
strong
Bonhoeffer.
Bonhoeffer. he said something along the lines of the Christ in the mouth of my brother is bigger than the Christ in my heart. Mm. And what he's just saying is, when I hear you tell me that God's at work in my life, it's a lot louder to me than when I try to convince myself. Because we all remember the bad things and forget the good. That's why Jesus said, remember the good news. Mm-hmm. I don't have any problem remembering bad news.
That's easy. That sticks.
So, but having friends around us that say, hey, remember who you are in Christ. Yeah. Remember what he's done for you.
It's kind of like having a translator. Or getting a footnote to a difficult passage in whether the Bible or something else you're reading, it distills the message that Christ is attempting to communicate to us, and we're just too busy to listen, and to and condenses it into something that is more powerful to us than it can be otherwise.
Yeah. So you have said everything that the leadership at our church has tried to communicate to our students with regard to campus. If you go to college, we'd love for you to be involved in a campus ministry.
Yeah.
And so I, I'll continue to just encourage our parents that hear this, that that's something we believe very strongly in. Mm-hmm. Like you said, there's no verse in the Bible that says thou shalt attend campus ministry. But the fact that the communion of the saints is one of the parts of our creed that we confess every week. Mm-hmm. It is important. So we talked a little bit about growth in suffering and in trials. We talked about just how God uses his people mm-hmm. in close relationships to keep us near to him. And then lastly, I actually don't remember.
His purpose, yeah.
Oh, yeah, his purposes. That's right. Purpose. Yeah, talk to me about that. Explain that a little bit more and then maybe walk us through what you're thinking there.
Yeah, I think that also closely relates to suffering, because in a lot of the ways that I've experienced unfortunate circumstances, there's a purpose that's born out of that. The one that immediately comes to mind is my first full year at Clemson. The things that were important to me were people. And they always have been. That hasn't changed. But I focused on that year, I focused on people to the detriment of my schoolwork. And I always was like, I can pull this out. And I kept not being able to. And that reflected in the classes that were more difficult for me. And those particular subjects all had to do with numbers. Numbers have never been my friend, and they really weren't my friend that year. And I remember the last test of my freshman year, my second semester freshman year, I needed to get, I think it was a 68 on it to make a C in the class, which I needed to make my GPA halfway decent that year. And I couldn't even get that. I didn't get that. Through one circumstance or another, I didn't put in as much study time as was necessary to get that grade. And so I remember getting the grade back and just sitting and calling my mom on the verge of tears, like, what do I do? And so what came from that particular set of circumstances, that unpleasant set of circumstances, was a purpose of, I have to do better in school. And so I made that my mission for the next year. Mm-hmm. And part of that was motivated by fear, because I was on academic probation, and you spend too many semesters on that, then they kick you out. Mm-hmm. So that manifested itself over the next year, and I pretty much taught myself, okay, what do I need to do these, what are the things that I need to do to get the grades that I want?
Yeah.
And so that was the purpose that came out of that. Mm-hmm. And I think in similar circumstances, whether a purpose or theme for a semester was, you need to reach out to this set of people. You need to, your relationship with God is suffering. You need to run to him. Or this past semester, it was, your time is not your own.
Hmm.
And you are called to use that in ways that further the kingdom and not just your own comfort. So the sets of circumstances that God sends your way, I think, really determine the purpose of the semester or a theme of a semester, or at least they have for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I would say to parents is, you can't predetermine that theme, and you can't set up, oh, I want this theme to be for my kid. But instead, let your child know that is something that is present in college. There's going to be a lot of events that correspond to something that your child may need to work on, or ask God for help in during his or her semester. And so just letting them know that is something that they will likely have to deal with, and being aware that it may not be pleasant,
mm-hmm.
and it will probably very closely relate to some of the unpleasant things that your child has to go through, but also be aware that it is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
in the right context. And yeah. It really is.
And you know, continue to underscore one of the main emphases that we have had, mostly in our children's ministry. I mean, certainly our youth ministry also, but in our children's ministry, we really try to emphasize knowing the content of the scriptures. Our curriculum really emphasizes that. Of course, we have children's mm-hmm. catechism. Mm-hmm. We have scripture memory. We focus on Wednesday nights or with our pioneer clubs. We have vacation Bible school and all of that. Sometimes to a kid, especially going into middle school, maybe even high school, you can think, okay, I got all this Bible knowledge, blah, 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 blah. Here it is. I got my catechism. I memorize these verses. So what? And then bam, you know, you're hit with massive temptation or suffering or relationships that just
don't at me, Dave.
Turn sour or something. No, I'm trying to underscore the fact that sometimes a parent, you know, it might feel as a parent, you think I'm just teaching them the same thing over and over again. Certainly, they got it by now, but it's when that trial comes that it's the deep rooted those doctrine gospel truths that. That are anchors for the soul. Yeah,
when you put those things into practice.
Yeah, you really start to say, whoa, this is why it's important to know that God is everywhere, because I feel lonely. This is why it's important to know He is powerful, because I feel powerless, you know, in those moments. So to hear you say the things like, you know, the Lord put me through these difficulties, and I drew near to Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Lord just reworking the gospel in our lives in a new way.
It's like He's rotating the puzzle piece till it drops in perfectly.
There it is. Hey, let me say this. I don't know if I've ever said this to you or not. I can't remember. But years ago, we were coming back from a rafting trip.
Rafting. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was my senior year of high school.
It was your senior year. Yep. We were in my old green Honda.
Oh my goodness.
And we were coming back, and you remember we made a wrong turn on the mountain, and it was too steep, and the brakes were overheating.
Yeah, I remember that day very.
Smokes were out.
That was
you,
memory.
Me, and Janie. I think was sitting mm-hmm. in the car, and you asked a question. You were in the back seat.
Yeah.
And you said, Dave, what do you think I need to look for in a church when I'm out on my own? How will I know if a church is a good church? What are the signs of a good church? I don't know if you ever remember asking that question.
I don't right now.
But that has stayed with me for over 4 years.
That'd be five at this point. Yeah,
five. Yeah, and the reason is because it's even in some ways become a major goal of mine in working with students is to kind of have them asking that question to themselves or to a youth pastor or to a parent, whatever, by the time they're approaching the end of high school and saying, whoa, I've got my parents aren't going to tell me where to go to church. They're not going to tell me what friends are allowed to come home and not come home. So the fact that you asked, man, for help. I mean, you asked for assistance and said, would you help me think this through this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've ever told you that or not, but that was actually a game-changing moment in the way I thought about youth ministry, that our students were not just, I wasn't just teaching them and counseling them and spending time with them just so that they could like Covenant for 4 or 6 years.
Yeah.
But so that we could raise them up to desire God and His people so much that for the rest of their story after they leave Covenant, we're just handing our students over to Jesus. I mean, not that we had them and He didn't, but we're saying, here you go.
Hands off.
You're being commissioned now. You go to where the Lord has sent, wherever He's sending you.
Yeah.
I thought I would share that with you as we kind of wrap up this podcast.
That's awesome. That I really appreciate that. I think there is an art, not an art. I guess the best way I can describe it is that there is an art to being able to hand your kid off to Jesus in that way as a parent, because the tendency is to still parent in the same ways that you have for years.
Yeah.
And that's not a that's not an admonition. That just is what it is. You, as you transition from being the parent of a high schooler or a middle schooler or a grade schooler or whatever, as you transition from one that to being the parent of a college student, the way you parent those two sets of time in your life and your kid, your child's life are different.
Yeah.
And I don't know, some people are more willing to say, okay, this is some of these things are going to happen and I'm willing to do that. And some people have a harder time letting go. Neither one of those things are bad. It just depends upon the person. Mm-hmm. And so what I would like to leave parents and you with, yeah, is an encouragement that it is going to be okay for your child. If they are a child of God, He loves them more than any of us can imagine, and His hands are the safest. They're not the gentlest, but they are the safest. And you can take comfort in the fact that He hasn't dropped anybody yet.
Man, thank you so much. You know, all the parents, you represent all of our kids. You heard His voice when you were away from your parents. Mm-hmm. You saw Him leading, and we need to be reminded that no matter where He sends them, he goes with them. So, man, I've enjoyed it. Thanks so much.
I think
it stopped raining. No, it didn't. No,
I think it started raining again.
Okay, I got to get paused and pick back up.
Yeah, no, I knew I should have packed my umbrella.
Yeah, I didn't even bring my rain jacket.
Oh,
so,
dude.
I know,
whatever. Getting keys today, forgetting rain jackets tomorrow.
I know.
And today.
Whatever. All right, parents. Well, thanks for listening in. We'll talk to you later. See ya. Bye.
See ya.
Yep.